Side.
Spend the day with Side.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sairam, dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang by brothers Prem and Arvind. It's now time for us to go to the next segment of today's Thursday Live. And this is Ganesh, and along with me is brother Bhargav to take you along to this episode of Veda Jignyasa. Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So at the outset, we would all like to collectively offer our humble salutations and prayers at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall commence today's class with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvan Notibhissedasadanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vaje Virvajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So dear listeners, Bhargav, now continuing the journey of the quest for finding out what exactly is the true wealth, the journey of Sri Suktam, a couple of episodes we have been able to complete by Swami's grace, and in the first two episodes, we were actually trying to understand what exactly is the root word of Shri is, and then we started explaining the first paragraph of the Sri Suktam, the Hiranya Varnam Harinim. The aspect of Hiranya and Suvarna, we were dealing with in the last episode.
Actually, we have just touched upon it last time. We had mentioned about the two consorts of Lord Narayana. One is the Bhudevi and the Sri Devi, the Achala and the Chanchala. So in this, you know, we had just discussed that Tama Avaha Jatavedo Lakshmi Anapagamini means that wealth which is not fleeting, which is not ephemeral, that wealth we want. So we just, let us touch upon it again little more, because, you know, we found a very good insight into this from our own organization's charter, which Swami has given us, the 9-point code of conduct. Can you just throw some light on that?
Sure, Bhargav. Actually, when we try to understand deeply, we already have wealth in different forms.
Yes.
So, nobody is poor. That is what Swami has taught us. Maybe some might be rich in their talent. Some might be rich in aspects of their wealth. Some in terms of their gunas. So many varieties of wealth.
Yeah.
Because there are Ashta Lakshmis.
Yes.
So in various forms, Mother has blessed each and every one of us. So already when Mother is there with us, how is it that we are responsible of her not going astray? So it is our responsibility to make Mother stay with us.
Correct.
So the baton is with us, actually. So God always puts the ball in our court. Correct. And He watches the game from the other side. So when Swami has when Swami had given this charter for the organization, He mentioned the 9-point code of conduct. In this, when we carefully observe, the sadhana of every member of the organization is being put down by Swami. Starting from the individual level, that is the Vyashti, which takes you across to the Samishti, which is the societal level, and finally it will take you to Parameshti, the divine level. So how does the transition go?
Let's see what Swami actually says in his own words. What is 9-point code of conduct which Swami has elucidated for all of us?
So the first one is daily meditation and prayer.
Mm.
The second one, devotional singing or prayer with family members once in a week. Then participation in spiritual education by children of the family, that is Balvikas.
Yeah.
Participation in community service and other programs of the organization.
Yeah, so that is the fourth one. The fifth one is regular attendance at devotional meetings conducted by the organization. Then the regular study of Sat Sai Baba literature. Then use of soft, loving speech with everyone. And again, the eighth one is again very important. Swami has stressed this so many times. Ganesh, if you remember, we had discussed this at length in our Medha Suktam when we said that Vidhate Suvira, what is the speech which we should not use? Because we had mentioned this, that the second stanza it comes. So that is avoidance of talking ill of others, especially in their absence. And then the ninth one is practice of the principles of sealing on desires, consciously and continuously striving to eliminate the tendency to waste money, food and energy, and utilizing any savings thereby generated for the service of mankind. So in this, you know, we get this thing what we were just discussing, that should not allow the wealth which has been already conferred on us to fritter away from us. This is the way, I think, like Swami has given that beautiful mantra of sealing on desires. And I feel, according to Swami, if you just see, the basic foundation of it is at the personal level, daily meditation and prayer. Means we should make the foundation so strong that all these things automatically come.
Exactly.
So the first step to allow this wealth which has been conferred on us to stay with us is to internalize it by daily meditation and prayer.
Exactly.
I think one interesting observation, if you notice, one important interesting aspect or observation in this is that everything else is like once in a week, or I get together in the family happens, or whenever there is a meeting which is conducted by the organization, frequency varies. But the first one, which is a daily meditation and prayer, that is something where Swami stresses that you should do it daily. The foundation should be very strong. So as you told, that to allow the wealth to stay with us, that is the foundation. And then based on that only, everything else falls in place. And then the final culmination is sealing on desires. And then after that, when you say don't waste time, don't waste money, don't waste food, don't waste energy. So I think all these four are in one way or the other, they are...
Actually, Swami has put that as the ninth point. But when you carefully observe, all the above 8 points are actually a part of the ninth point.
Correct. No, and one more thing. When you mentioned about Ashtalakshmi, if you say Anna Lakshmi, Dhanya Lakshmi, so that is food. Gajalakshmi is nothing but strength. So energy. So all aspects are actually... Are they part of those Ashtalakshmis? So all these type of wealth, all these type of skill, which we already have, the virtues, the skills, the wealth, whatever you call it by any name, all of them are already with us. But only thing is, we have to do that effort, put that effort, so that it doesn't go away from us.
Exactly. So maybe with that as the beginning, we shall step into the next line.
Yeah.
So, once we take care of the means, the ends also will be fulfilled.
Yes.
So, then once we are taking care of the individual sadhana, of keeping mother with us, so what will happen?
Yeah.
So, along with mother, so many other things will start coming now.
Yeah.
So, yasyam hiranyam vindeyam gamashvam purushanaham. So, when can you serve someone? When you have something with you, that you can share it with the others.
Yes.
So, if you have good education, you can share it with others. If you have wealth, you can share that money with others. If you have food, you can share it with others. So, how is the expansion going on? That is very clearly mentioned in this, Yasyam Hiranyam Vindeyam Gamashvam Purushanaham. The meaning is, from whose grace, Yasyam, Hiranyam, that shining gold luster, Vindeyam, I obtain, Gam, cattle. Ashwam, horses. Purusham, people. That is family, friends, servants, etc. Aham, I. So from whose grace I obtain all these things, which add to my luster.
Yeah.
So now, if you can elaborate on this particular aspect, it would be nice, Bhargav.
Yeah, what we are able to gather is that when all these qualities and all these traits, all these virtues are with us, automatically, yeah, all these things which we are mentioning, they'll all become part of us, as you told.
Mm.
And then if you say Gam, the cattle stands for
Satvaguna.
Because we worship cow as Gomata. And then Ashva is the Ratsik quality. Because, you know, we always say Ashva is never stable. It always moves one part or other of its body. A Ratsik trait it has got. And then, anyway, when the next stanza comes, we will get that also. There is one more aspect of the elephant, which we'll cover in the next stanza when it comes. That is, that stands for the Tamsik Guna. So, all these three gunas which are there, she is one who is beyond these three gunas. And she comes with, and you know what, Swami says, this human body, this whole creation is nothing but a play of the three gunas.
Mm.
So you have to live with all the three gunas, but you should be a master of them.
Mm.
So in that way, if you see, these three gunas also come to us. And once, when we understand the play or the work of these gunas, Purushan is probably, here it says family, friends, servants, but it is like you will be able to understand the universal aspect of mother, what actually it is, what we always say, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. So we will be able to understand what actually is the real principle of mother. Means that principle which has created this whole universe with the play of these gunas and which actually encompasses the whole universe.
Mm.
So that understanding will come to us. And that is probably the true wealth which we are talking about.
Exactly. So, basically, mother who is Trigunatita, beyond all three gunas, when she comes to us, the sadhaka or the devotee worships mother in one or the other form as a reflection of the three gunas which are there in him.
Yeah.
So, that is how the process continues.
No, just to add, you know, you had done this program in Telugu stream also some time back. The Navadurgas, you know, the first aspect is the Tamsik aspect.
Mm.
That is the Mahakali. Then comes the Mahalakshmi. Then comes the Mahasaraswati. So, you have the, like, once you cross all these obstacles, finally what you get is the Vijayadashmi.
Mm.
The final victory of, like, of your victory. You vanquish your own inner enemies and you actually become victorious.
Mm.
And you actually understand what is true nature. So same way, I think here also, the three gunas which he's talking about is nothing but a journey which we all have to take so that we actually reach the final destination.
Yeah.
That is the true wealth, as you told. So in this case, like, when you say, when the sadhaka actually starts his worship, his or her worship, and then what actually happens is the next one is very interesting.
So now a small request to all the listeners also. So, as we are now going into the core of the Sri Suktam, we shall simultaneously keep in mind the 9-point code of conduct that Swami has told.
Mm.
Because it so beautifully reflects whatever is being told in the Sri Suktam. Shall we chant the next few lines?
Ashva Purvan Ratha Madhyam Hastina Ada Prabodhinim Shriyam Devi Mupahvaye Shrirma Devir Jushatam.
So in this, it's so nice actually, it says that when you pray to mother and then that moment comes when actually mother is coming to you, she's manifesting to you. What is the joyous occasion? The description of the joyous occasion is so beautiful. It says that she's coming in a chariot pulled by beautiful horses and then she's sitting in a majestic
throne,
a palanquin, like a chariot. And then when she's coming in the chariot, you know, the gajas, the elephants are trumpeting with the joy that finally mother has arrived. And this devotee or this sadhaka's life has been sanctified. So that is the joyous occasion which actually describes in this. But you know, anyway, Ganesh, anything in Vedas or anything in Sanskrit in literature, you have always something very deeper going into it. So in this case also, if you just see, Ashvapurvam Rathamadhyam Hastinada Prabodhinim. So means here Ashvas are all can be actually compared with our senses. The senses, if the senses are under control, if we control our senses, Ratha is the chariot. Chariot is nothing but the body.
The body.
The body is kept under control. You know, Swami says, bend the body, mend the senses, and
the mind.
So when you actually do that, then the mother who is the indweller, the Dehi, Swami says the Dehi. The Dehi is nothing but the mother. She will come. How she will come? What is the, like, what is
indication that she is coming?
That she is coming is that there will be trumpeting of the elephants. So, trumpeting of the elephants means
Hastinada Prabodhinim.
So, Prabodhinim means letting us aware that she is manifesting. How it actually happens is, it seems the Shakti which we have, all of us have, the Kundalini Shakti, they
so
call it.
So, I think now we have to go back again to the Ganapati Adhara Sirsham.
Yeah. So, there, in this, like, if you just talk in a yogic parlance, the most Muladhara Chakra, we call
from
it.
From Muladhara Sthitosi Nityam.
So, Ganesha he's always stationed at the Muladhara Chakra, the most basic chakra.
Basic chakra.
The basis of all creation. So there, and you know what, it seems the Muladhara Chakra has got an elephant symbolism also. So trumpeting of the elephants means actually that you are, that Shakti, that energy which is lying dormant in all of us, has actually woken up. It's awakened. And when it awakens, that the joyousness of the awakening is being projected by trumpeting of the elephants. And then they say, yes, now mother is actually ready to come. You know, Swami also gives a beautiful symbolism of the chariot. How it is, can you just tell that? So, it gives a beautiful, the whole symbolism of what are the senses, what is the mind, what is the buddhi.
So, the senses are the horses, the body is the chariot. And then the mind is the reins, and the buddhi is the charioteer.
Okay.
So, keeping the buddhi, if the mother is adorned in the seat of the body, that is, if she takes the place of the heart, then she controls the entire being of ours.
Okay.
And then the reins, the mind is controlled by her. And in the process, all the senses, as when we go back now to the previous line, so Anapagaminim, she will not allow herself to go herself astray. So, this is all interconnected.
Correct. You know, if we do the sadhana, if we do that hard work of keeping our senses under control, the reins with our intellect, so mother herself will come and station herself in this temple, which is a temple of God, which you call it, the body and the whole body-mind complex. And then she will only, as you told, will not allow herself to go astray.
So, but now the question might arise, how do we do it?
Yeah.
So now when Swami has given the 9-point code of conduct, the first and foremost, that is the basis for everything, is daily japa and dhyana. So when you start contemplating and start meditating on the divine aspect, slowly a point comes where you realize the arrival of the divine consciousness in you. Then the Kundalini Shakti rises. Then the mother awakens inside.
But actually, I think we have discussed this once before also, but I think it's apt to tell it again. Remember, we had shared how Swami spoke about the importance of doing first day in the morning, the Suprabhatam. So remember, Swami had told this.
Exactly.
It's needless to share it again once.
Yes, surely. We can share this aspect. When a group of students asked Swami that they were having some doubts, Swami asked them, what are those doubts? Then one of the boys raised his hand and asked Swami, all the students are asking, why exactly should we do Suprabhatam? So that's a very, very pertinent question, because without knowing the importance or the significance of what you are doing, how many ever days you do the sadhana, it might be of no use. So Swami caught hold of that point, and he explained the boys in such a very, very simple manner. So Swami gave them a simile. Swami asked them, in the morning, when you don't pass your ablutions, what happens? So, Swami was pointing his finger in two. And then all boys started giggling. But Swami was very serious. Answer to my question. Swami stressed so much. Then everybody told Swami the health will go for a toss. In the same way, if you do not do Suprabhatam or the daily morning prayer. So all the impurities that you have collected in the entire night or day, it will not go out.
Okay.
And that will accumulate and your spiritual health will get affected.
So beautiful, yeah.
If the food that goes inside does not come out, your physical health will get affected.
Yeah.
In the same way, all the impurities in the body and the mind, when they are not sent outside, the spiritual health will get affected. That is why you need to do Suprabhatam or daily prayer and meditation.
So, probably this is the beginning of the day. Even end of the day also, something which you had shared so insightful it was.
So, I think that is why the day should start with a prayer in the morning.
The basis of every activity which you're going to start after that will be pious, will be fruitful and will be in a positive note.
So, in the next line, Shriyam Devi Mupahvaye Shriyirma Devi Jushatam.
I think, Bhargav, when we are talking about Shriyam Devi Mupahvaye Shriyirma Devi Jushatam, means it gives a very beautiful meaning that because of our power, because of actually your Shriyam, energy, power, wealth, which is there in us, we are drawing you
near. So, but I think, Ganesh, that power which you're talking about is the power of faith, I think. Power of faith, power of love, power of devotion.
Yes. See, because whatever talent you have, whatever energy you have, it is nothing but the gift of God.
Yeah.
So, when God is there in present in you in that form, obviously, with that itself, you are asking God to come to you.
Yeah.
So, at this point, I am reminded of two very beautiful incidents.
Yeah, sure.
Where here, Shrihi, personified manifestation of pure energy, all powers, wealth, etc. So, how are you drawing, using that power which is in you?
Upahvaye, means drawing in here.
Yes, you are drawing that power in you. With the power in you, you are drawing the external power.
The divine to you.
Divine to you. So, there was one senior brother of ours who was very, very good at Veena. And he was blessed with an opportunity of playing Veena in the Mandir, in Swami's divine presence, every day.
So fortunate, huh?
But at one point of time, it happens to most of us, because familiarity breeds contempt, that is the saying.
Yeah.
He thought for a while, is Swami really happy with my playing? Am I connected to Swami? I feel I am taking things for granted. So that was the feeling that was developing in his mind. Even though every day he was sitting right in front of Swami and playing the Veena, and Swami was acknowledging him, maybe the same process again and again when it continued, this particular doubt got into him. So he thought, no, I should personally do some sadhana to draw Swami near to me.
Okay.
And find that connection back again. And this was a very interesting and kind of adventurous step that this boy had taken. Because when you are not found in front of Swami when you are supposed to be, obviously Swami will identify that.
Correct.
So then what this boy did was, he stayed back in his room during darshan time. He sat right in front of the altar of Swami, just with a single candle lit in front of Swami. He was focusing continuously on that light and started playing his Veena to his heart's content. He thought, this is the way I can offer and get back my connection with Swami.
And please him also.
And please him also. So it went on, it went on. The full darshan time he kept playing. And then to his utter amazement, as soon as he finished playing,
In his room,
he got up and he was about to go outside. Lo and behold, as soon as he opened the door,
he found Swami standing just in front of the door of his room.
It's a wow moment, correct?
Yes. Actually, that was, he was wondering why, how come Swami had come.
Mm.
In the pretext of blessing one more boy, Swami had come to answer his prayer also.
Yeah.
And confirming it to him that, yes, you are still connected to me.
Mm.
You need not worry. And then again the connection was
established.
On. The Wi-Fi connection got re-established and he started playing.
As you told in the beginning, just in the beginning you had told that any talent, any skills, any vidya you have, if you actually offer it only to him, then that draws him near to you. So, he had this beautiful skill of playing Veena, divine Veena. We discussed about Veena also once before.
Mm.
And then when he thought, okay, let me try to play it and see if Swami is actually coming to me or not. And with that devotion when we played, with that faith when he played, actually he drew the divine to him. And you know, where is hostel, where is the mandir, and when all are gone to mandir for darshan, Swami comes here to give darshan to him. So beautiful. And the second one actually is even more sweet, I think. Correct, Ganesh?
Exactly. Yes. This happened sometime way back in the 2000s when one of the primary school teachers was taking a class to the students. And as the class was progressing, she had written on the board, faith can move mountains.
Mm.
That was the lesson that she was about to take. And then this particular sentence got into the head of one of the boys.
Okay.
And he asked a question to madam that, ma'am, is it true? Then madam, in all her, with all her
sincerity,
she told back the student, yes, faith can move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So this boy had a unique wish that being a Thursday.
Mm, Thursday they used to come for darshan.
Thursday used to come for darshan. He wanted Swami to come and speak to him.
This somewhere primary school kids?
Primary school.
Yeah.
And third or fourth standard kid. So, which was very, very unlikely, because in that huge gathering, how can Swami come directly to him and speak?
Yes.
That might be the question of many people. So then all the children come for darshan. And then this boy sitting right in the middle of the group.
Yeah. He'll be somewhere in the middle, yes.
That too, being a third standard, fourth standard kid, he would not even been seen from where Swami stands. lost in the wilderness of the students. And then this boy, as soon as he entered Mandir premises, this thought kept strengthening in him. Faith can move mountains, faith can move mountains, faith can move mountains.
He was chanting this.
He was chanting it. Swami will come and talk to me, Swami will come and talk to me. This was the continuous prayer that was getting intensified in him.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the utter amazement of everyone, all the teachers were wondering what exactly this kid is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the interview, Swami directly, without any, he makes way for himself through that group of students, comes directly to this boy and stands right in front of him. This boy opens his eyes. Swami talks to him to his heart's content. And then goes back.
Yeah.
So, it is the love with which you call out to God, the faith with which you approach God is what is important. Shriyam Devi Mupahvaye Shriyirma Devi Dushitam.
And then, because when you told, I think one more experience comes to my mind. And then probably we had discussed this once before, I don't remember. Again, one boy, he was otherwise, if you see, he had no so-called talents, if you call them talents. He didn't have all those talents which generally, you have, whatever. You're good in music, you're good in dance, you're good in Vedam, or you're good in sports. You'll get close to God, or you'll attract God towards you. But this boy felt that he didn't have anything special in him. But one thing was there, that Swami has told me, Swami has told this particular schedule is important. The hostel schedule. So let me follow the hostel schedule strictly, scrupulously.
Scrupulously.
And then he followed it for 3 years continuously. Every day morning getting up, and then suprabhatam, then all that, whatever we have, no? The whole process. And go back to bed at 10, 10:30 whenever the night prayer. and doing all the things which Swami says. We discussed the 9-point code of conduct. The same way Swami says in a hostel, whatever is the schedule given to you, you should follow it scrupulously because it is done by me only. He followed all that. And he had only one desire, that Swami should talk to me. And I am no one. I'm just one in the crowd. So, you know, Swami always has his own sweet ways of getting people back to attention and how it is. And this is one of those days, you know, is the most sought after thing is going to Kodai. You know, Swami is going to Kodai, he's making plans. Am I the one? Like, all will have that inquisitiveness, that desire to go with Swami. It's just like once in a lifetime opportunity. So, one of those days, Swami was sitting in the Tri Vrindavan, and then, you know, the Jhula room is in a semicircular way. And, you know, Jhula room is semicircular, and Swami was sitting in the Jhula on one side of it, and full of boys, you know, boys will just crowd around him. There's not even a place to even when dust or particle of dust also falling. Like that, people just crowd around him. And this boy was sitting somewhere in the back, and he was on the curvature, so a little other side of the curvature. Actually, from the line of sight of Swami, you cannot see
directly
him.
Directly, you cannot see him.
So, Swami sat there, and then out of the blue, when he was just talking to all the boys, suddenly he asked one question. And it's a very sort of obvious question. I don't remember the question. About something on Puranas, about some character, who is he and all that. So, all raised their hands and they just yelled, told this is the answer and all that. This boy was oblivious of what is happening because he was somewhere in the back. He didn't even hear what Swami told. Then, Swami called Warden and Warden sir was next to him. And then Swami just leaned forward. And when you lean forward, you can see the curvature, who is there. And he tried to point to that boy who was sitting somewhere in the back. Told, this boy, yeah, you gave the correct answer. He was in his own world. You know, he didn't even know what is happening there, what Swami asked.
He didn't even know the question.
He didn't know why people are yelling and what was the thing about. Suddenly, from out of the blue, he gets a shock, and people say, Swami is calling you, Swami is calling you. So from back, he just gets up, comes to the front, and Swami says, good boy, you gave the correct answer. He was in a daze. What answer I gave? I didn't give any answer at all. Then Swami told, good boy, you will come with me to Kodai. I am taking you to Kodai Canal this year. And then when that statement came from Swami's mouth, all understood that why it was. Because the warden was himself got emotional. He told Swami, you know what? This boy is so special. He, right from the day I am seeing him, right from the day he has come to the hostel, this is the third year of his and third year passing out. The last 3 years, I have not seen a boy who's been so scrupulous and so meticulous in following whatever you have told. Like the rules of the hostel.
To the word.
To the word he'll follow, and he'll do whatever it can to think that this is making Swami happy. I'm going to do it. And then participate in any small service activity which is at offer for anyone in the hostel. He'll be the first one to come and grab it. We all used to feel that, you know, when Swami will shower his grace on this boy, he's been so special. And then that day it was so special that not the boy, the whole hall, the whole student fraternity were happy that this boy deserves it, and Swami gave him. So, you know, Mupakh Vaye is like, even if you don't have a talent, it's what here, when we talk about talent or skills or something, here he had only the wealth of sincerity and faith, you know, what you told, sincerity, devotion, faith. With that, and following what Swami says, he followed it, and, you know, there is not that immediately it will happen. There is always a time, you know, Swami always says, Deshakala Parishthiti, but it will definitely happen. And sure, he will be drawn to us. So, you know, this boy was, and then Swami created one beautiful chain for him, and then put it nicely on his neck, and then told, good boy, you will come with me. So, like, when you told this, this such a sweet experience. This is the one, and the one of the brother who played Veena, and then the small school kid who had the faith can move mountains. So, all these things go to tell only one thing, that Ganesh, I think it is, if we have that faith, if we have that devotion, if we have that feeling towards Swami, Swami will definitely respond.
Exactly. And the beautiful point here to be understood is the innocence with which we pray to God.
Lord.
That is most important. Because if we do it with a feeling of, I can draw the Lord to me, then that won't work.
I think that's the biggest mistake. That will backfire. That's going to be the biggest mistake.
Because Swami has his own ways to prove things wrong.
Yeah, correct. I agree.
So we should never allow our ego to get over our mind.
Yes.
And then take the reins into its hands.
Yeah, correct.
So I think before we close today's class, we can just touch upon the next two lines and give the brief meaning so that we can go in detail in the coming class.
So we'll chant it first.
Kam so smitam hiranya prakara mardran jvalantem triptam tarpayantem padme sthitam padmavarnam tamiho pahvaye shriyam. So the general meaning is, enigmatically smiling, who is she with golden aura? Wet with love yet flaming with fire, satiated and satisfying, amidst worldliness yet desireless, healthy pink, come here and now, come with Shriyam. Actually here there is a mention of the lotus, Padme Sthitam, the beautiful lotus in which the mother sits. And Swami has very, very elaborately told about the significance of the lotus and what spiritual significance it connotes.
Yeah.
So I think in the next episode,
we shall
completely deal with these two lines.
And then one more interesting aspect is Ardram. Ardram is wetness. You know, and then when you see mother's eyes, they say they're always full of the wetness of compassion.
Yes.
Whenever she looks at us with that compassion, that actually, like, it will remove all our problems.
It is so natural for mother to be compassionate.
And then, like, we have some sweet experiences, I remember, we'll share it in the next time, where when we see the same, that wetness of compassion in Swami's eyes.
Exactly.
Like, many times we have experienced that, so it will be really interesting and exhilarating to actually share those experiences.
Yes.
So we look forward to next class.
Yes, exactly. So I think with these few thoughts, we shall bring this class to a close and we shall end it with Kshama Prarthana Mantram. But before we end, once again, we request the listeners to please do write their feedback, your suggestions, your critical comments to listener@sssmediacenter.org. Or WhatsApp it to 9393258258.
Om Yadaksharapada Brashtam Matra Hinam Tuyad Bhaved Tatsarvam Kshamyatam Deva Narayana Namostute Visargabindu Matrani Padapadaksharani Cha Nyunani Cha Tiriktani Kshamasvasaishvara Aparadhasahasrani Kriyante Harnishanmaya Dasoyamiti Mamatva Kshamasvasaishvara Anyadha Sharanam Nasti Tvameva Sharanam Mama Tasmat Karunya Bhavena Raksharakshasaishvara Harihi Om Tatsat Sri Saishvara Arpanamastu.
So from a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari. Stay tuned to HR Stream. Sai Ram, happy listening.
కిరణ నిభవదన శ్రీత చింతామణి సదన శీత కిరణ నిభవదన శ్రీత చింతామణి సదన శీత వసన గురుముఖ మాతుల కాంత లలిత శీత కిరణ నిభవదన శ్రీత చింతామణి సదన శీత వసన గురుముఖ మాతుల కాంత లలిత కిరణమయే లక్ష్మీ సదా భజామి కేనమాన వశ్యం యజామి